Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank and the 20K Good Business Giveaway. Submit a video explaining how your business does good by October 24th for a chance to win $20,000. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/business contest.
So in case you missed it, Peyton Manning did a video with Patrick Smyth, the PR director. You don't see Patrick, he's off camera. But Peyton just knocks these things out of the park. And, well, this is what it sounded like.
Peyton, FYI, Drew Brees just broke your record.
Which one?
All-time passing yards.
Passing yards? Oh, okay. So I still have the touchdown record, right?
He's actually on pace to break that, too.
What? Great. Drew, for 1,000 days, I've held the record for all-time passing yards in the NFL. I gotta tell you, it's been the greatest 1,000 days of my life. And thanks to you, that's over now. And you've ruined that for me. So thank you very much. I have nothing left to look forward to except slicing my tomatoes, making dinner for my family, putting together this wedge salad. Also, let this serve as the congratulations for the touchdown record, because as you can see, I'm very busy. I don't have time to keep doing these videos for you, congratulating you. But in all seriousness, Drew, congratulations on this record. You've done it the right way. All your hard work and dedication have paid off. Way to go. Proud of you. Good luck the rest of the way.
You know, Peyton doesn't want to give any of these records away. But if you get
it,
of course, right? But if you do,
I don't want to give all my records away.
Which one?
Never mind. We'll talk about that later. Besides the point.
The fact that it's Drew Brees has to ease the blow a little bit.
And in New Orleans, his hometown,
right,
where he grew up, and obviously his dad is still a big part of that community. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely. A guy that, you know, he showed a picture of him and Drew Brees. I think Drew was still at Purdue when him and Peyton took a picture together back. I don't know if it was at the Manning Passing Academy or what. So they've known each other for a long time.
Drew looked heavy in that picture.
Did he?
He looked a little chubby. He had like those Carmelo cheeks.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
Looked like
he's eating
putting
good
away some walnuts.
But how about the gift certificate they gave him?
I gotta talk about
what is going on. What are we doing?
A laminated piece of paper.
Like the referee handed to him. He's like, what? I mean, give it to his wife and his kids or something. I don't understand what's going on,
bro. Put it in a frame.
Right.
Give him a plaque.
Something.
You gave him a laminated
and just handed to him. He's like, oh, here we go. Okay.
He said Drew Brees all-time late pass. Like, wait, did y'all stop at Kinko's on the way here?
Last minute, they forgot. They were doing some other stuff and had to get it done. Had to go to Kinko's and get that thing done an hour before the game.
That was so strange. I tweeted, as soon as I saw it. I'm like,
really?
What is happening here?
Doesn't make sense at all. Like, who? Okay, who thought that would be a good idea? And, like, why didn't somebody say, no, I'm not going to hand this piece of paper to Drew Brees after he breaks the record. I'll give him the football, shake his hand, and then that's it.
And it was the ref. It was the ref who, gave it to him.
Right.
He's
sometimes when people ask you to do something that's ridiculous, you just say, hey, let's think about this for a second, okay? Before we go out here on national TV and this huge audience that we're going to have and this great record that's going to be broken, we're going to give him this piece of paper. It's just, I mean, not framed.
So weird.
Not, like you said, a plaque. I mean, something. I mean, can we, it's like a low budget film or something. I mean, it's the NFL. Make it nice. Give him a nice little, trophy or something. I mean, goodness, something. But a piece of paper?
Did they throw a flag on the play, too, for the celebration? They did. They did.
What is wrong with these referees?
How?
Seriously, you just broke the record, and
you're part of the celebration because you just gave them a piece of laminated paper?
But, hey, we got to penalize you, though. Okay, we're not going to let you get away with that.
Are you kidding me?
Guys came off the bench. We got to throw this flag.
That is too funny.
It's really unbelievable. And then, you have, I think it's Dave Baker or something, the president of the Hall of Fame. He was out there, and he's got these gloves on. When he's handling the football. Like, Drew gives him the football, and he's just, got gloves on. Like, okay, hey, you can touch the football with your hands. It's okay. I mean, you're going to, what are we going to do with this thing? Is it, I don't know. I guess that's the way they do things. It's just a little bit, to me, over the top. It's a football, okay? You don't have to have gloves on when you're handling this thing.
Those are the Lord Stanley gloves.
Right. Like, you don't want to smear, you know, get any smudges on the trophy. Okay, I get it. But this is a stinking football. Take those stupid white gloves off and hold the football. Okay? We're going a little bit over top here.
It's hilarious. The whole thing was, it was hilarious.
I mean, look, this is like, here you go. Was it even laminated?
It was.
It was laminated.
I actually made sure that it was, because I was about to tweet that at least they could do is laminate it. But I did see the edges that they didn't quite cut down enough. You got the corner.
They were like crooked. somebody tried to trim it like, okay, whatever. Just go. Just hand it to them. It'll be fine. Nobody will notice. I mean, come on. Give me a break.
That was great. That was great. speaking of quarterbacks.
You think, it's a good RamosLaw.com text here. You think it's on his refrigerator this morning?
That's what
got
I said.
The magnets, put it on the refrigerator?
I literally, as soon as I saw it, I hopped on my Twitter account and said, congratulations, you're the all-time leading passer, Drew. Here's this piece of paper to hang on your fridge.
Put it in your kid's room, you know, put some thumbtacks into it and hang it up in, you know, your kid's room or something. I mean, it's just like, wow, what are we doing here?
What are we doing?
Who thought that would be a good idea?
One guy and then a group of yes men.
You know, sometimes people bring ideas to us and sometimes, you know, just a couple weeks ago, like, hey, you want to do this for on camera or something? I'm like, that's an awful idea. I'm not doing it. Let's think about this thing a little bit further, right? You were there.
I was.
You agreed with me, too.
you had a point.
I did.
You got asked to say something you really didn't want to say.
Yeah, I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. That sounds ridiculous. Sometimes Johnny Love does that, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's trying to get stuff on Twitter and stuff and comes up, hey, he wanted to do this pirate thing one day because there's like Pirate Day.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
Bro, are you kidding me?
How about new?
No pirate stuff here. Sorry.
Speaking of quarters, I had to run this by you because I found this funny. Hawaii is having a really good football season. I know people don't care about Hawaii football, but they're 6-1 and they've off to a really good start. Okay, they got this dynamo quarterback. Dynamo. He's got a 12-1 touchdown interception ratio.
It's pretty good.
Okay, and his name is Cole McDonald. He's a handsome kid. He's got dreads. He's fun to watch play.
Okay.
He gets hurt. Okay, he gets hurt. Hawaii, during warm-ups this past week, put another kid with his stature in his uniform, sent him out on the field, and had him warm up to convince the other team that Cole McDonald was playing. That is next level. That is next level.
That is next level.
I've never heard of that.
I think it's awesome. I think that's really cool.
It's like,
to go to that length and just play. You know, it's like the game within the game.
Right.
They didn't do anything wrong. But just to play some mind games.
To me, that's crossing the line a little bit.
I don't think
it's
crossing the line. I think that's funny. I think that's, you know, that's what entertains us. It's entertaining. It's entertainment.
But you're lying.
I like that.
You're
really, did you tell him? You didn't tell him? Did you tell him?
It's got the kid's name on the back of his kid, but that ain't the kid.
Well, then they shouldn't be watching you.
Okay.
They shouldn't be watching your pregame stuff. You didn't lie to him. You didn't tell him anything that wasn't the truth. You just guy mixed up the wrong jersey and, you know,
started throwing the football like a quarterback.
Yeah, it happens, right? He grabbed the wrong jersey. Did they win? Who won? You better have some stats. You better tell us who won.
It was a freshman. I have no idea who won.
Oh, my goodness.
But
you can't start the story and then say, oh, and by the way, Hawaii got drummed or Hawaii won by 50. I mean, come on.
They beat Wyoming 17-13.
Ooh.
Boom. There you go.
How about CU? You want to talk about teams that are hot?
How about them with a national rank? Anytime you got that number next to your name?
Yep.
It's been a couple of years. I was there a couple of weeks ago to see them play UCLA Friday night.
How was it? Awesome. You got that Airbnb? Is it B&B? BRBNB?
Airbnb.
B&B. I always want to throw an R in there for some reason.
I stayed behind this dude's house a mile and a half from Folsom Field. Literally stayed behind his house in this like secondary house.
How was it?
It's great.
Awesome.
It was
phenomenal.
Didn't
sleep much, probably.
Nope. Had the foot, all gas, no brakes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good for CU. Keep it up.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. All right.
You know who else is undefeated?
Who's that?
Bearcat Jim wanted me to say the Bearcats are undefeated.
Is Cincinnati still undefeated?
Yeah.
Is that
6-0.
Right?
6-0. Bearcat Jim.
Good for them.
That was for Bearcat Jim. That's it. We're not talking anymore for you, Bearcat.
All right. Armchair GM / coach conversation coming up here. Stoke, how good can we, you and I, make the current Broncos? Potential changes coming up next.
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 and a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/businesscontest for more details.
This is one of my all-time favorites, man.
Is this the Rolling Stones?
This is David Bowie.
Oh,
you fool.
A little bit off.
They
could be the Stones, right? It's not a little bit like the Stones.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
My second guess was the Beatles, so there we go.
You are such a clown.
Which one's closer?
The Stones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Glad I went with that one first.
You are my beast of burden. Time to talk about some changes. Okay. I'm going to give you 5 moves here. 5 moves using existing parts of the Broncos. You tell me how much different you think the team will be. Fair enough?
Yes. I like it.
First change, Royce Freeman will carry the ball 15 to 20 times a game. Is that a change that will help? Is that a change that you would endorse?
I like the way things have been going. I like seeing Phillip Lindsay get a lot of carries. I don't think the bulk of the carries should go to Royce Freeman. I like how they've been using the running backs this year. I think they could remove some of the Booker opportunities and give more to these two guys. But, look, I'm not going to sit here and complain about how the running back group is being rotated. Both those guys are running the football well and doing a good job at it.
Both guys averaging over 5 yards per carry. Phillip Lindsay is averaging 5.8 yards per carry. That is a fat
number.
Not
too shabby. And, so you look at both these guys, they're both doing a really good job. I like the rotation. I like how many carries they've both been getting. And now you might see Royce Freeman one game get that, 16, 17 carries and Phillip Lindsay get 5 or 6. Okay, he's a hot hand. You give him the ball more. Then the next week it might be reverse. So I like what they've been doing with these guys. They've both been running the ball really, really well.
I do think there's more space for Freeman. Like if you were to say after 5 weeks of football that Royce Freeman wouldn't have 50 carries, I'd say, what happened there? But he's been running the ball fine.
Happened.
Phillip Lindsay.
That and they can't convert third downs.
Yeah.
They haven't had a lot of plays in games. And then you start playing from behind a little bit, and there goes a lot of your rushing opportunities. So you look at the Oakland Raiders game, they couldn't make a first down in the first half. So you look at the opportunities for this running game, it's going to be limited. Got to stay on the football field. You got to move the chains. Then you can get more opportunities from both of these guys.
Change number 2, potentially. Talking about using existing parts of the Broncos, okay? Number 2, the majority of Case Keenum's passes will come off play action.
Yes. That is a change that will, I think, happen and help this football team out. You're good. You look at how successful they are running the football. You got to use that to your advantage. And you got to use more play action passes. Because you are a good running football team and teams know you can do it and know you have explosive guys in the backfield. Now the play action passes work. Now you can use it to your advantage. So start doing it more.
That's the one thing that's really stuck in my craw here in the last 24 hours. I got to tell you, I've become pretty annoyed with what I have learned. And we talked a little bit about it yesterday. Case Keenum's passer rating on play action passes is 30 points higher than non-play action passes. Not just for the season, for his career. So the fact that the Broncos have used play action just 16% of the time, that's the 5th lowest rate in the NFL.
And for the life of me, I can't figure it out because the Broncos, you could argue, are the best rushing team in football. You could legitimately make that argument, but by anyone's metric, they're a top three. They're a top three. So to say you have this incredible rushing attack and a quarterback who thrives off play action, it just doesn't compute with me. For an offensive coordinator, and Bill Musgrave has done an okay job, I think, but the narrative preseason was, hey, we're going to – you know what? It's the same damn thing I heard last preseason, to be honest with you, about Mike McCoy. He's going to tailor the offense around the strengths of the quarterback. But you can't tell me if your passer rating is 30% higher when you do a thing and you choose to do it the fifth least in the league. I don't like it. But Bill Musgrave, the more I looked into this last night, traditionally in his offenses has not used a lot of play action. So that to me needs to change. And I think that it's incumbent on Case to speak up a little bit if that is not a conversation that's being had. He needs to say, hey, we need to try to incorporate this a little bit more. And hopefully those conversations are being had. All right, another change for you. I'll get off my soapbox about play action.
No, it was good.
I will replace Garrett Bowles with Elijah Wilkinson at left tackle. Would you endorse that change?
No. No, absolutely not. It might happen anyway. We'll see how Bowles is feeling, if he's going to be okay to go. But no, I wouldn't endorse that as a change to make this football team better. Not right now. Yeah, Bowles has had his issues. There's also been some good stuff there.
I will replace Brandon Marshall with Josie Jewell at middle linebacker. Would you endorse that change?
Not right now. Not right now. We'll see how that linebacker core looks this week. But Josie Jewell has been getting, you know, his fair share of playing time. You see him on the field a lot more.
He can play.
Is he 47 now? Is that his number?
I think so.
I saw one time he actually one time during the game, and I had to rewind it a few times. I was like, he was playing like outside linebacker, and they bumped Bradley Chubb down. It was really weird what they were doing. They bumped Bradley Chubb down. He was in the 4-point, and right to his left was Josie Jewell. Like almost like an outside linebacker position. So it was a little bit different scheme that they were doing. And kind of caught me off guard because I was like, ooh, who's that out there?
Do you have an opinion on it?
No. I mean, I like to try different things and get guys in different positions to try to be successful and change it up a little bit. So, obviously, whatever they did last week didn't work. So, I would say my opinion would be let's not continue to do whatever we did last week.
Yeah. Whatever you did last week, do the opposite.
Yes.
How about the change of replacing Joe Woods with Reggie Herring as defensive coordinator? Is that a change that you would endorse at this stage in the game?
Yes, I would. They need a new voice. They need to hear somebody different. They need to try something different. Too many good players to play like they've been playing. So a change needs to be made. You can't wait forever in the NFL because you only got 11 games left. Other jobs are on the line. You're fighting for your job if you're Vance Joseph. And you know what? That's just the NFL, right? That's the way it goes. Sometimes guys have to fall on the sword. And, you know, this might not all be Joe Woods' fault. I give him that. He might be a fine football coach, but it's not working right now. And so, you know, sometimes you have to make moves, just like with Mike McCoy. I've been around Mike McCoy. He's been my offensive coordinator. He's been coordinator of some really good offenses. Just didn't work out. He had to fall on the sword. We had to move on with somebody else, okay? And that's the same situation you're finding yourself in with Joe Woods. They need a new voice. They need to hear somebody differently. They need to hear, you know, a guy that's, you know, yeah, you're not gonna reinvent the wheel, but you got a different voice. You got a different personality calling the plays, calling the game in the moment. And that's where coordinators separate themselves, and it hasn't been good enough on game days.
It's that time in the afternoon.
Whoop!
Stokely stoked up, and we're getting hyped next.
What's Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Stoked up about today.
Zach, look, if you have a job and you're supposed to show up to work, you don't not show up. And then late in the day, you do show up and say, oh, I'm sick. Okay, you don't miss your meetings, Bradley Roby. Okay? You just don't do it, especially the day after you just got torched. Okay? You show up to work. You communicate with your employer, with your boss, and let them know what's going on. It's not a good look for him. It's not a good look for the Denver Broncos right now, who are on a three-game losing streak. We saw what happened last year. Okay, that's not what you want if you're Vance Joseph right now. One of your starters who had an awful game not show up for meetings and show up late. You just can't have that. You got to figure out a way to fix this quickly, and I don't like the look of this. And, Zach, that's what I'm stoked up about.
Brandon Stokely Stoked Up, presented by CSU Global.
That's what I'm talking about!
Yeah, this was pretty discouraging news that Bradley Roby yesterday was, sort of an Antonio Brown-style no-show from what I've gathered. I mean, I know he eventually did show up, but he didn't let anyone know that he wasn't going to show up for work. Mike Kliss tweeted yesterday, or was this this morning? Yeah, it was this morning. Bradley Roby was sick yesterday. He saw trainers late in day, was not present for meetings. It does appear he should have communicated better with his coaches, i.e. he didn't communicate with his coaches. They didn't know he wasn't showing up for work. This is bad, Stoke, because this, you know what it seems like to me? It seems like a cop-out type approach. The day after you look like a piece of toast on, a handful of plays that led to just gashes from Robbie Anderson, to not show up after it just screams dysfunction to me, is what it does. Because also, Bradley Roby may not have known that they're having a team meeting, And
he knows there's a team meeting.
Oh, he knows there's a team meeting.
Oh, yeah. There's, on Monday after a loss, there's a team meeting every stinking week.
Oh, I'm talking about the closed-door players-only meeting.
Yeah, you said team meeting. This is a team meeting.
So they're
different.
I don't know for sure if he missed the players-only meeting,
right,
but signs point towards that.
Probably
because when the players are there, that's when they had their meeting.
Probably so. But when you talk about, your team meeting, and you talk about, getting in there, Vance Joseph is in front of the whole team, and you start talking about the game, you start talking about your corrections, you start talking about what you need to do moving forward, how we need to correct this, how we need to get better. Maybe you put up 10 plays that you need to correct, right? So a coach can spin it one of two ways. You can either come down very, very hard on your football team, or you can spin it like, hey, we're not this bad. Okay, look, we're up 7-0. We're playing good football. And right here, Chris Harris, right here, Darian Stewart, right here, Bradley Roby, on this 77-yard run, you took a bad angle. You slipped. We should have had containment here. So, you might show 7 or 8 plays that says, guys, we're not this bad. Don't believe everything the media is saying. Okay, we have 7 or 8 plays that we need to clean up. Okay, that's that type of meeting. Or you can come down and say, hey, look, we stink. We're, whatever. However you want to spin it. But you have your team meeting, everybody's there. And then you break it up. Okay, so after the team meeting, you break it up and you go with your individual coaches. So the defense goes with Joe Woods. The offense goes with Bill Musgrave. And then they give you their rundown of what needs to be corrected and your approach coming up. And then after that little meeting, I think you can go 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever. Then you break up with your position coach. And he gives you your graded sheets of all your plays. And you sit down and you watch film with them. So that's every single week. Unless you win, sometimes you get. You know what Monday's called when you win in the NFL and the coach is, feeling you a little bit?
An easy day?
Victory Monday! You get Victory Monday. And you have the day off. You don't have to go in. Victory Mondays. I didn't really ever care about Victory Mondays because it's like, I don't know. It didn't do anything for me. It's like, okay, I want to go. I need to work out.
So
it wasn't like it was hard work anyway. But Victory Mondays are, a little bone that the coach would throw you after a win, sometimes later in the season, not usually this early. Hugh Jackson gave it to his team. I saw him after the show. They had the cameras in and, he's like, Victory Monday tomorrow for you guys. We finally won a game on Sunday. And everybody goes crazy, right? The players love it. So most of them will be flying to Vegas or whatever, because you have Tuesday off, so you got 2 days off. Show back up, Tuesday night and be ready for practice Wednesday. But team meeting, I mean, you need to be there. And if you're sick, guess what? You roll in or you call the trainer up and say, hey, man, I'm feeling, I got the flu or something. You know, and they'll send somebody to your house. They got 30 assistant trainers. They'll send somebody over there with medicine or they'll send you to the doctor. They'll send you to the doctor. And he'll take care of it. And then guess what happens? They call the coach. Hey, Coach Joseph. Bradley Roby called in. He's really sick. We're sending somebody to look at him. He's going to the doctor right now. We'll give you an update as soon as we know. But he didn't do any of that.
You played 15 years in the NFL. Did you ever stay home from work sick?
One time.
What was circumstance?
One time. First day of training camp, 2012.
Oh, I remember you told
me that. Remember that
story? Yep.
Yep. I, middle of the night, just got, like, deathly sick. Called the trainer up at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and one of the assistant trainers came up, gave me a bunch of medicine, and...
Did they come in the middle of the night?
Oh, yeah. 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, came up and was giving me medicine, gave me Gatorade and stuff, and so didn't practice the next day, but they sent me to the doctor, went to the doctor, gave me IV and stuff, and then, you know, later on that night, they sent me back to the room, and later that night, started feeling better. The next day, I was able to practice, but that was it. You know, for me, I mean, there was no other instance where I went into work and I didn't feel good and they sent me home. But there's a line of communication that you have open. And if you're sick, you're sick. Look, I mean, it happens. And either that you can stay there and they'll watch you there and or they'll just send you home or they'll send you to the doctor. But to not show up tells me,
not communicating is worse than not showing up. Like, and I know they're kind of one and the same, but you got to be an adult. I mean, be an adult. You're supposed to be somewhere. And they're counting on you. The Broncos are counting on you.
You're not the 53rd man on the roster.
No.
You're a starter.
You're a starting quarterback, the first-round pick.
You're a veteran player. You're in your fifth year. You know how things operate.
This is no good. This is no good because this is on the heels of – first of all, this is on the heels of getting your freaking head kicked in. Bradley Roby needed to be in those meetings. You need to figure out what went wrong because we need it fixed because we got the freaking Rams coming in here. Yep. We need you there. And it's on the heels of Chris Harris saying we need to figure out who wants to be here and who since doesn't show up for work. You kidding me? I mean, pardon me, but the day after Chris Harris said that, if you were to press me and say, hey, give me, do you have a clue or an indication of someone who doesn't want to be there? I'd say, yeah, the guy who didn't show up for work. You know, and I'm not saying Bradley Roby doesn't want to be a Denver Bronco, but sure as hell ain't showing it. I don't like this. I don't like it. And you got Derek Wolfe saying something deeper is going on here, and guys aren't showing up to work?
It's not a good look at all. And you think about everything that went down last year and the issues that you had last year and the snowball effect of that football season. And now you're on a three-game losing streak, and one of your starters who had a bad game, you know, says he's sick and doesn't show up till later in the day and didn't communicate well with the coaches. I mean, you just can't have that. I mean, that just can't happen.
And it just so happens that the day he doesn't show up, there's a players-only closed-door meeting. And we know this because Brandon Marshall said so to Michael Spencer of CBS4, this is what it sounded like.
You know what? We all had a players-only meeting as far as like the defense goes. You know, defense, we met together and we talked some things out. And, we even had a team meeting where Vance, you know, wanted our feedback as well, you know, on what's going on and what we need. So, you know what? I think it's, you know, we still have time to turn this thing around, and I'm glad we're having these meetings and this communication right now because we all don't want to feel the same things we felt last year.
So, well, what does that say, though? I mean, because obviously you guys went through a rough patch last year.
Yeah.
So when you have that type of communication, I mean, that tells me that, hey, you guys aren't going to stand for this.
No, and we can't. You know, last year, after the bye, we lost 7 games in a row. You know, it was like 2 months where we didn't win a game. You know, that's crazy. So we've lost 3 in a row, and the buck has to stop somewhere. It has to stop somewhere, you know. We thought it was a very winnable game in New York, and we just didn't come out to play, man. We've never been rushed on like that, ever, you know. 300 yards rushing?
323. It's
never happened since I've been here. So it's very frustrating, man. So, you know, we have to come together collectively. We have to change something.
So just a house cleaning thing.
we didn't know. This is the first time we're hearing that audio because we were waiting for it from CBS4. We didn't know it was a defense-only meeting, so that's good to know.
Defensive players only. So, which is, you know, look, they should have. Because you hear the rumblings from a Chris Harris and a Derek Wolfe, and you want to get to the bottom of it. You want to figure out why you got rushed on like you did, 320-plus yards against the New York Jets. And you look the way that you look. So hopefully you got some things ironed out there. And then I also like the fact that, you know, it was pretty much an open floor team meeting with Vance Joseph. Right? Hey, let's talk about this thing. Look, let's open up the lines of communication with this whole team here. Okay, let's figure things out because this is going to be it. This is unacceptable.
And give the players an opportunity to speak their mind, because I remember Vance is being asked about this after Sunday's game, and he's like, look, you got to ask these guys.
Yes.
You know, I didn't say these things. You know, ask him. And the fact that they are getting all in one room and Vance is saying, speak up. Who's got something to say? You know, who wants to address something? Let's just air this thing out. And it sucks to not have your starting cornerback there for this. Because I'm, you know, I don't like it. I don't like it. And on the RamosLaw.com text line, I don't understand all the angst about Roby not showing up yesterday. I'm more upset that he was a no-show for work on Sunday.
Yes.
Roby's still at the airport in New Jersey. He obviously can't catch the Jets.
Wow. This doesn't stop. Look, you know, the team meeting where you open the floor up because you hear, you know, you hear the rumblings, right? And you just talked about it. You know, Vance is like, go ask those guys. He can't comment on what other guys are saying. So if you're Vance, you say, hey, look, what do you have to say? Say it now. You know, Chris Harris, you want to say something? Say it now. Derek Wolfe, you want to say something? Say it now. Or whoever else, you want to say something? Speak up now. Okay? So we can all clear this thing up, and we can move forward without airing our grievances through the media also.
Right.
Let's keep it in-house.
Good point.
And we can do this every week if we need to. But, you know, let's open this line of communication up here and figure things out moving forward, because there's things that need to be corrected. And if you got something on your chest, whoever it is, speak up now.
Stoke, what is your confidence that they can figure this thing out?
You know, I've had a lot of confidence in this defense, and I was expecting them to go out this year and play at a very high level. It hasn't happened. What are the changes that are going to be made? Do I really believe that changes are going to be made, or are really important changes that will help this football team win this week? I look at last year, the spiral effect, and what happened after, you know, the Buffalo Bills and then, well, the New York Giants after the bye week, and just how the season spiraled out of control. So am I confident now that they can get things fixed? And that it won't continue to get worse? No, I'm not. I'm sorry. How can I be? What has happened to let me be confident that shows me, okay, look right here. Remember when they did this last year or under Vance Joseph? I don't have any of those examples. So I'm not very confident, unfortunately. But at the same time, things can change quickly in the NFL. You know, I was in Indianapolis and we got rushed on for probably, I want more yards than what the Jets just rushed on the Broncos for. In 06, late in the season, the game I tore my Achilles. And why don't you Google that real quick. 2006, Colts versus Jaguars.
Oh, it was the Jags.
The Jags. Maurice Jones-Drew.
Mm.
And I think Fred Taylor, I don't know if he was still there or not, but they ran all over us.
44-17.
Okay. Yeah. We got beat.
Let's see. Ooh.
Well, yeah. Ooh. Right. Give me that number. Give me that number. What is it?
MJD carried the ball. Actually, this is unique because MJD in that football game carried the football, I think, the exact same amount of times that 15? Isaiah Crowell. 15.
Okay. Yep. That's right.
15 totes for 166 yards and a pair of tutties.
Oh, stop it.
Fred Taylor, his backup there, had 9 carries for 131 yards.
What was their total rushing yards?
375, because Alvin Pearman ran for 71 of his own.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, so we had that game late in the season. That was late in the season, December-ish. And you know what? We got things figured out. Somehow, some way. Things got figured out. We made a couple changes, a couple tweaks. Nothing huge. Nothing dramatic. We stayed the course, and we got things changed and went on to win the Super Bowl. So you can change a few things, a few tweaks, get players doing a little bit different technique or whatever it may be and get things changed quickly. But you also got to realize that we had Tony Dungy for our head coach, and this was his fifth year with the team, right? So we had the same system in place. We knew what we could rely on. We knew what we could do, and we counted on and we trusted our coaches and our head coach, and the changes that needed to be made were made, and we went out there and started playing at a different level. Ended up winning the Super Bowl. Can that happen here?
Well, one of my main criticisms of Vance Joseph, among the laundry list of the criticisms from a year ago, was that Vance was never able to stop the bleeding. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. Right now, the Broncos are leaking. Okay? They're leaking. They're taking on water. Well, I guess that's two opposite things, but they both mean something bad.
Yes, neither one of those are good.
Right. Whether you're leaking water or taking on water.
Not good.
Not good.
No bueno.
So this is a real challenge for Vance in his career. I think it's a seminal, pivotal moment in his career as a head coach. If he loses the next two games, there's 0% chance he coaches against the Chiefs the following week. Zero.
Wow. Zero. Zero.
No, I fully guarantee you cannot lose after an 8-game losing streak in your first ever season. You can't follow it up with starting 2-0 the same way you did the previous year and then lose 5 consecutive games. You can't do it. And I'll tell you, if John Elway, if I poured him a stiff one and we had a conversation, he would agree. He's going to fire him if they lose the next two games. To me, that is a natural fact. And it's on his table. This is your challenge. Vance was the leader of men. Vance was billed as a leader of men. Vance was a one-time DC for the 24th ranked defense in the NFL. But the one thing that he was the leader of men. He had this unique quality that Elway spotted a couple years in advance. He was his guy. And when you're a leader of men, I don't know if you have to have players only meeting after week 5. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if you have players saying there's something deeper going on here if you are steady and sturdy at the helm.
Yeah.
I got real doubts.
Right. That's the thing here is you look at the rumblings from the locker room, from guys speaking out, and it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder what's going on behind the scenes. And does Vance have control of this team? Does he have the pulse of this team? Changes will be made, is what he said. What are those changes going to be? You know, are you going to replace Bradley Roby with Isaac Yiadom? I mean, Tremaine Brock's not healthy. Bagman Jones is getting hurt every other game.
I mean, how about that?
So he can't stay healthy. You got no cornerbacks anymore. So, I mean, are you replacing Bradley Roby in the starting lineup with Isaac Yiadom? And we think that's going to be like some huge change? Is it going to be Brandon Marshall for Josie Jewell or something? I mean,
I don't think it's any of those. I think the change that's coming, Joe Woods is being demoted, and I think it starts this week. I don't think Joe Woods is calling the defense this week. Now, Vance said he wouldn't fire him. But I wouldn't be shocked if some of those play-calling duties defensively.
What do you mean some of them? It's either all or none. I mean, you know, so you either take them away from them or you don't. And
all of them.
Yeah.
All of them. And if Vance can't step up and make that sort of move, and if Joe Woods is still the defensive coordinator on Sunday, and the Rams hang 50 on you, which they have real potential to do.
In bad weather?
Why not?
Ooh.
You know, to me, if we see another performance like we saw against the Jets under Joe Woods, to me, this is the same conversation from 17. Vance not acting quick enough. Vance not coaching the coaches enough. His number one thing he needed to improve on. Look, he's the head coach. He's got to figure this thing out. Because I believe in my gut that right now, he's losing the football team. That's what my gut is telling me.
I mean, that's what it looks like. When you look at what has happened, you look at 3 games in a row, you look at how they played, players only meeting, you hear some of the interviews after the games. That's what it seems like from the outside. Might be a totally different case inside, but that's the way it seems on the outside looking in.
Yeah, you combine all those quotes, players only meeting. Shoot, man. We're not even one third of the way through the season, mathematically. And
so,
this is where we're
at. You know,
it's not too late, though.
It seemed like to me that he was not going to make a change to Joe Woods. Now, was he talking about not firing him, or was he talking about, you know, to me after the game, he said, like, nope, we're not doing anything with Joe Woods. He's fine. Obviously, I disagree there. Because it just hasn't been good enough. And when it's not good enough, it doesn't reflect on whether Joe Woods is a good coach or a bad coach. It's just not good enough here. And right now, you have to make a move. You have to make a change. New voice. Okay, somebody different calling the plays during the game. Third down and eight, this guy is going to call something totally different than what Joe Woods called. Maybe it's going to work out better. Maybe the switches and the tweaks will get this defense playing at the level it should be playing at. You got to try something. Like you said, the ship is sinking. Do you just sit there on the ship and just watch it sink? I'm not. I don't want to drown. I'm going to try something.
The worst thing.
Put your finger in it, right? Elbow. I don't know. Something. Hand. Stop that. Stop it. Try. I'm going to try everything possible before I go down.
The worst way to strike out is going down looking.
Swing the bat.
That backwards K.
Swing the bat.
Swing it. Go down swinging. And if you're going to get fired anyway, bet on yourself.
Take some cuts.
All right. On a more positive note.
Is it? If he does remove Joe Woods, you think he takes it over?
He has to. And if he doesn't, if he takes the play calling from Joe Woods and gives it to someone else, it just validates everything that I already am starting to believe and have believed about Vance Joseph.
But a lot of people, you know... Like, he doesn't look comfortable on the sideline sometimes. And imagine throwing the responsibility of calling defensive plays on top of that.
Maybe give him something to do.
A head coach.
Give him something to do.
Okay.
What did Vance Joseph do good to become the Broncos head coach? He's supposed to be a defensive guy, right?
Yep.
He's a defensive back coach, defensive coordinator. I'll be damned. If your butt's on the line and you're supposed to be good at something, inherit that responsibility. Don't pass it off on someone else. There's only one answer for me, and that's it.
Gotcha. I gotcha. And this Tutty thing that you keep saying, my wife said it last night about 20 times during the Saints game, and I was like...
She actually left it in an Instagram comment.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It was driving me nuts.
It's a movement.
It's a movement.
Pump that music up.
Oh! 4 out of 5.
We won Pick'em again.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, let's get some of that chicken parm again.
Tell you
what,
man.
The pound cake stuff. Ooh, man. If we could get that again, that'd be great, King Supers.
For those who don't know, we won the whole King Supers fan football pick'em in 17. We won week one. We won week three. We won week four. We won week five. I feel like LeBron up here.
Not
with the
one.
Heat,
not right? Two. I not tell three. You. I mean, look. It's been nice. It's been a fun ride. Let's stay focused. And now we're on to week six.
We're on to week six.
That's our mentality. I'm the Bill Belichick of this operation, all right? I'm going to keep you grounded. I'm going to keep you humbled. I'm going to keep you focused. And we're just going to keep grinding. And we're going to keep dominating.
I like it.
And the big fella's going to have to keep on, you know, taking those big faces out and just flapping in our hands on Tuesday. Love it.
See you soon, Alfred.
All right, big fella.
The Drive coming up next.
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 in a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit eFirstBank.com/businesscontest for more details.